Hey, y'all. Welcome back to season two of the Hey Sis Eat This podcast. After a much needed break, Courtney and I are ready to get to cooking, drinking, and talking. This season, we have on chefs, influencers, fellow podcasters, and more siblings. Today's sisters are probably the ones most responsible for our love of cooking and entertaining. Always the star of the show, Mama Ashley joins us with her sister, Martha, aka our Aunt Martha. As the saying goes, the apples don't fall far from the tree.
Grab your fork and grab your knife. Morning, afternoon, and night. Mama's recipe and mine. We're about to have a good time. Hey, sis, eat this. Hey, sis, eat this. Woohoo!
Hey, sis.
Hey, sis. Happy season two.
Oh, my gosh. Happy season two to you. I'm so excited. I've missed doing this. It's been not as fun couple of months without this in our lives.
I agree. I've had so much to say that I feel like I just haven't been able to share with you because I'm like, oh, I got to save it for the pod. And I sort of felt like a limb was missing these past couple of months, not being able to get on here and shoot the shit with you.
Right? I totally agree. Yeah. And it wouldn't be like a new episode, a new season without some shit going down. I just had to go over to Mom's to like set stuff up. And the internet went out and it's been pouring rain here. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, of course. And Detective Dwight goes in there and is like, you unplugged the modem.
I'm shocked he figured that out. I mean, no offense to Dwight, like, but you know, he's not the most tech savvy of our family.
I was like, yep.
Okay. You know, Whitney, we're a little rusty. It's been a few months. So bear with us, friends, as we stumble through this new season, this first episode of the new season.
And we're going to kill it. We're going to slay, as they say.
Yeah.
Well, should we bring Mama Ashley on?
Yeah, because it wouldn't be a first season episode without Mama Ashley here to help kick it off. Let's bring that star on, the star of the show.
Yeah, let's do it. Hold on, I got to call her.
Okay.
She's like, how will I know when to come on? Like, I'll call you. Hey, Mama, we're ready for you. Okay.
Okay, so I'm not cheating on the blue cheese stuffed olive, but there is a new cheesy olive that I've discovered that I like.
Hold on. Hello? Just leave him as be and just join.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Courtney.
The star of our show is here. The star of our show is here.
Yes, I am.
Welcome to season two.
Now, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Have you missed us?
Not really, because I see you all the time. But yes, I have missed listening to you, and I have missed being on with you and all that other stuff. Yes. I'm glad you're back on. It's very fun. Very fun.
I was just telling Whitney before you got on that I've been cheating on the blue cheese olives in our martini, that I found another kind of olive that I've been using in my martini.
What?
A feta stuffed
olive. Yum.
And they do that at the Hillstone restaurants. Yeah.
They do goat cheese as well.
Oh, you're right. Hillstone does goat cheese, not feta. I found feta at BevMo.
I like
and
that.
And they're really good. They're kind of a little more like, they're just not quite as pungent, you know, as the blue cheese. So
a little bit more mild.
A little bit more mild. So if you're having something that's, you know, quite has a stronger flavor profile and it doesn't necessarily go with the blue cheese, I recommend these feta stuffed olives. I'm still
we'll have to give it a try.
That our signature is the blue cheese, but
right.
I think that dip I made that goes with salmon that has just the cream cheese or maybe it's feta and lemon in it would be good stuffed in olives for that.
It has salmon. The dip has salmon in it?
No. You don't put the salmon in it. I'm just saying it's the cheese.
No. There was like salmon in a martini? I don't know about that.
Are you crazy? No.
I mean, I like my drinks with a snack, but that's it's a meal limit.
That, yeah, I was going to say that's a whole new ball game and it's not a pretty one. No, I'm saying you make it's the cheese filling, I think, that would put it, you put it in the olive and it would be really good. Because it would just have that little lemon sprig in there, you know.
Yeah, because that's like instead of a, that would be combining like a martini with a twist, you know, a lemon twist.
Ooh.
I think we're onto something.
A really good spread for all kinds of things. And I think, I think it would be good. I'm going to try that.
Next time you're here, Court, we should do like an olive stuffing party.
I think we should start a whole line of Hey Sis stuffed olives and different
cheeses.
That would be so fun, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
Yeah. We've got lots planned for season two.
We can call it Hey Sis Stuff This.
That's a good one, Whitney. I had Whitney down here piping hard-boiled eggs.
Tell our listeners about this party you just catered. I love it.
Oh, it wasn't a party. It was our book club and
monthly I Don't Read the Book Club.
Yeah, we have read all of these books because it was Dr. Seuss and she reviewed the life of Dr. Seuss. The hostess was just adamant about making the food out of the books of Dr. Seuss. So I did a bunch of research on, you know, what we could do. Of course, you know, you could do green eggs and ham. And then
what'd you settle on?
Well, instead of doing really green eggs and ham, what we did was I dyed hard-boiled eggs green. We did green deviled eggs. And
that's
then
cute.
I did hamoramas, which are, as you all know, English muffins. And then it has the little spread. So I use Canadian bacon because it fits on the English muffin perfectly. And then you do a slice of tomato. And then you put another dollop of the spread on there. And then you put them in the broiler for 4 minutes.
What's the spread?
It is cream cheese with a bunch of herbs,
oregano. Were the ladies impressed with your green eggs and hamaramas?
Oh, yeah, they loved them. And then I did a fruit salad with a cinnamon and honey yogurt.
Yeah, it was good.
It was really good.
All this time off, I have done a complete pantry overhaul and refrigerator overhaul. And I have Vivi to thank for it. So she watches all these YouTube videos with all these women, all these like Utah moms, they call them, that organize everything from head to toe, the refrigerators. And she keeps asking me if we can have a preppy refrigerator or an aesthetic refrigerator, whatever that means. And so
that's hilarious.
We went to Home Goods and we found all of these great containers, like just plastic PBA free containers. So what I've been doing, you guys, it has been the biggest game changer in my cooking ever. I've been excited to tell you about it. So I, after I like go to the farmer's market or grocery store, or whatever, I bring all my produce home, wash it and put it in these little plastic containers. So some of them have like little individual boxes within. So all the fruit, like I'll do raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, and they have stayed so long. My produce stays so much longer if I wash it and put it in these plastic containers. And then my refrigerator looks more neat. And then I can pull out, for example, I'll have one with all my herbs clean and organized in the sections. And so I just take it out and then I'll just be making a salad or whatever it is. I'm like, oh, I need that chives or I need the parsley or I need the celery. And so I just get out all the bins, use it. And then after I'm done, put it all back in the refrigerator. And it's just been a game changer.
Take a picture or even a little video.
I will. It's really been amazing.
But I will tell you a tip. You're talking about celery.
Yeah.
And, of course, you wouldn't do it because you've got all that now. My refrigerator is a big mess. But I bought all this celery for an event I was doing, but I didn't use it all. So once you've washed it and everything, you dry it off really well and you wrap it in foil, just plain old foil. And put it in the refrigerator. Foil. I know. It's crazy.
Wow.
It will last forever. It will last forever.
Really?
It's true. Yeah. I tried it. And I heard that and then I tried it and it's really true.
Well, I think because these things have lids that it keeps it nice and crisp and so
airtight.
Yeah. So things are lasting. And I was so lazy. I would just put stuff in the plastic wrapper in the refrigerator, shoved in there. And this way I can just see everything better. And when it's already, when I take the time to clean it, which is kind of a pain in the ass, but if you do do that work ahead, it really makes the rest of the week easier.
I want to see what the containers look like.
So I'll show you.
Yeah. You send me a, text me a picture.
They come in different sizes and just, it's real good. Real good.
That sounds like a wonderful thing. I'd like to get more organized in my refrigerator. It's a mess.
Maybe I'll have Vivi do a tutorial.
Yeah, you should.
Watch out, you Utah mamas. We're coming for you.
Exactly. Well, and we're going to Utah for spring break. So we're going to Zion National Park, and Vivi and Reagan were like, oh my God, I want to see this mom and this mom. Like, they think we're going to like cross the border into Utah and see all these YouTube moms, which is so, and why Utah? I don't get it. It's so funny. Anyway,
I was about to ask that.
Is Utah a YouTube place?
Yeah. There's a lot of influencer moms coming out of Utah.
Really?
Yes.
I want to be a influencer mom from Texas.
Well, you are. You are, mama.
It's a crowded marketplace here.
Oh, okay. Well, not for old women.
Yeah.
You want those young ones, but not me. I can do it.
You are. You're not. You are doing it.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Show me the money.
That's right.
Do you have anything you need to share, Whitney, like over the past 2 months, what you've done, any like highlights of your life? Like, you got a horse. I mean, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I didn't buy one. I'm leasing. I'm half leasing a horse. Sherry, she's wonderful. She's amazing. I've now taken on two more jobs. I'm working for Lance, his company. I'm still working with the Rose Group. And I'm working, actually, a client I really want to get on our podcast is Back to the Roots. It's a really cool organic gardening company. And they sell everything from indoor gardening. Like, I bought Reagan and Vivi these mason jars where you grow your own tomatoes and strawberries.
And it works.
It's working?
Yeah, we're sprouted. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, our tomatoes have sprouted. Yeah, it's super cute.
Yeah, I've been doing that. I've been podcasting. It's been busy AF here.
I've been busy AF too. It's weird that we took a break, and
yes,
I've been back working for our company, Five Little Monkeys Mattress, the kids mattress line. I have a 2-day photo shoot coming up. I have been planning Reagan's bat mitzvah, which has become a full-time job. And it's also like dance season, dance competition season, which is like keeping me busier than all of it. And this past weekend we had our first competition. We had to be there at 7:30 in the morning, and we had to stay there until 10 o'clock at night. Vivi danced in like six dances.
Just shoot me.
Costumes. Oh my God. Just shoot me. So, oh my God. So the night before, I was like, all right, we got to get to bed. And, you know, early, I was making dinner at home, everybody. And all of a sudden I was just about to serve dinner, and Daisy, my dog, my 70-pound German Shepherd, who had had like stomach issues all week, like diarrhea all over my kitchen floor. Okay. Like,
God, and Lord.
It was like in front of you.
In front of me. But that had happened the night before, right before I was about to serve dinner. She like circled my kitchen island and just diarrheaed all around it. So two nights in a row. So I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm cleaning it up. And I was just in like, I was like, Jason, we have got to take her to the vet right now, because, and it's like Friday night at 8 o'clock.
She needs to go down.
She needs to be put down before tomorrow morning. So anyway, he was like, oh, I don't know. She'll be fine. I was like, oh my God. I called the vet and they were like, you would have to take her to the emergency vet tonight. Da, da, da. So I like went through some medication and I found some couple year old anti-diarrhea medication, and I shoved it down her throat and was like hoping for the best. So I'm like, Jason, you have to take her in the morning. I'll take Vivi to, you know, to dance competition. You cover Daisy. He's like, I got it. So we go to bed and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I hear Daisy walking down my stairs, which I know she would never do because she sleeps by my side all night long. So I throw myself out of bed, start running after her. Meanwhile, she had had a tremendous diarrhea accident right outside my door. I go running through to chase after her, and my feet fly out from under me, and I fall on my ass, and I slide through the diarrhea almost down the stairs. And I'm like, I stand up and I'm like, oh my God, you guys, it's 2 a.m. I have to wake up at 5:30. I am covered from head to toe in diarrhea, diarrhea. I felt the warmth go through my pajamas.
Oh God.
I was like, oh my God. And then I was like going to chase Daisy down the stairs, but then realized I had diarrhea all over my feet. So I couldn't like go down the stairs. So I'm like, Jason. And meanwhile, like Vivi wakes up, Reagan, everybody's popping their head out of the door. What's going on?
And it sounds like an all hands on deck situation.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I tell Vivi because she had an 8 a.m. routine. So I'm like, get back to bed right now. I've got it under control. And, you know, the teenager, Reagan, was just like, whatever. And so I'm like, Jason. And he had to like hoist his body over the situation to like get down the stairs. Okay. So then like I had to shower before I cleaned up because I was covered. So I'm like stripping off my pajamas. I jump in the shower, then I like put gloves on and like a hazmat suit is that I made up, and I clean up everything and I go back to bed at 4 a.m. until 5:30. And so I was like literally the biggest mess. But the silver lining is that our security cameras caught it on video.
And
I have video of me. I have a video of the whole incident. If you'd like me to share it with you, I have it pulled up.
Wait, you have cameras inside your house?
I have cameras inside my house up
I
in
did
that
not
area.
Know that.
Yeah. So
if you saw me going to get water in the middle of the night,
naked, well, I could. Yeah. So,
we need to see this immediately.
I don't, so let's see how I share my screen.
Oh my God.
It was like a movie. Can y'all see this? Can you see this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
this
does.
Is
Does
Daisy.
It have sound too?
No sound.
Okay. Okay.
So
okay.
This is Daisy.
Oh my God. Oh
and
God.
And you see her. Here we go. You can see her. She's struggling right here. You can see her. She's, oh my God, it's coming out. Okay. And then she's like going to, she's still going as she's going down the stairs, right? And then I pause because I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I can't walk. I'm not sure what to do. And I'm like, Jason? Jason? And he's like, I'm like, don't fall in it. He's like, turn the light on. And then I turn the light. And then he goes like, oh God. He's got a hoist his body over.
Was he dying laughing?
No, he was not at that point. He was like freaking out.
Does Reagan come barreling out?
Well, Reagan was like told the babysitter the next day, and she texted me. She's like, "Oh my God, I heard what happened to you." And I was like, "Yeah, did she tell you I slid in the diarrhea?" She goes, "Yeah, Reagan said she opened the door and you were covered in diarrhea." I mean, you guys, I just can't make this up. I can't make it up.
I mean, I have to watch that like 1,000 times.
I know, that
I've
is
watched
too funny.
It so many times.
We've got to put it up.
I'll text it to you.
I got to show that to Big D. That's too funny.
It's amazing. And when you like see me pause and I'm like, oh God, what do I do? And I'm like hopping on one leg.
No kidding.
With the slide and almost fell down the stairs.
I almost flew down the stairs.
You should send that into America's Funniest Home Videos.
I think we should.
I think it's about to go viral.
I think so, too. I do feel bad that we're like a food show, that I have to be so disgusting. But I thought it was just too funny and I needed to share with the world.
Sometimes it goes hand in hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I've got. That's my big update.
Well, I think that just about wraps up the intro.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. On that note, should we introduce our guest du jour?
Yeah, go ahead.
You go ahead.
I'll go on with my bad self. So In our true fashion on this podcast, where we interview people, guests, siblings, chefs, whomever, about their mamas, it's only appropriate that we bring on our mama and her sister, our Aunt Martha, or as we like to call her, Aunt Marta.
Aunt Marta. No, I'm so excited. We've always wanted to have the two of you on together, and I think this is a perfect way to open up the show.
We don't really get along that well. I don't know why we're going to be on together.
Well, that'll make for a better, more interesting podcast.
I'm just kidding.
I know you are.
I have a funny story. But she'll remember the true part, the details.
Well, just wait.
Save it for the podcast.
I mean, can y'all believe that story? I couldn't make that up.
You got to send that to me. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, that video. I'm going to have to watch it like 1,000 times.
I know. I've got to have it.
I mean, and what a great setup, Court. Wow. I was like, God, where is she going with this? This is a lot of front loading on diarrhea. Well, I mean, there better be a payoff for this.
Well, you know, if you listen to season one, I mentioned diarrhea in probably 42 of the 48 episodes. So I guess it's only
appropriate to kick off the first episode of season two with the ultimate diarrhea story.
Right.
It doesn't get much better than that. Or worse, I should say. It's a true testament of why I'm like, thank God I don't have a dog and children. Cleaning up diarrhea and then having to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to a dance competition. Like
14 hours.
FML.
Exactly. It was FML. I literally like turned to one of the moms at one point and I said, I'm going to take a nap in my car. Do you have this? And she's like, I gotcha. And so I went to the car and I literally took an hour nap and all day long, I was nervous that I smelled like diarrhea because even though I'd showered.
Like you were nervous when you smelled like vomit.
Yeah, yeah.
After the carpool accident on season one, episode one, actually, I think it was.
Hi, Aunt Martha.
Hi, how are you, darling? I love you.
I love you, too. I'm so happy you're here. I'm so excited. Well,
I'm glad to be here. It's going to be fun.
Welcome.
Thank you.
It's not really your first appearance because you have called into our hotline and left a hilarious message last year on National Siblings Day. But we realized then that you have a whole, you know, treasure trove of stories from childhood, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, sirree.
Aunt Marta has the good memory, you know?
She does. She has a much better memory.
Like Aunt Karen, Dad's sister, has like the best memory. So,
yeah.
I have a good one too.
Yeah. People tell me I'm like an elephant. I never forget.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping you bring it.
It's good when I'm doing therapy. My patients go, well, how did you remember that?
Oh, I thought you meant therapy on yourself.
No. What I'm doing? No.
She doesn't want to ever have therapy on herself. She needs it, but she doesn't have it.
Pot calling the kettle black.
That's right.
I have had therapy.
I just perform it on other people.
There you go.
Yeah, you have to grow. Otherwise, you're just going to stagnate.
Exactly.
I don't want to do that.
Aunt Martha's going to be 80 next January.
God, I can't even believe it. You look amazing.
I don't look like it.
You do not.
You really don't.
She doesn't. She's got beautiful skin.
You've always had beautiful skin.
We're going to give her a party, so.
Let's do it.
Now, just send me on a really neat trip somewhere.
We don't have that kind of money.
Yeah, I know. What, are you crazy? I know.
Me neither.
I've got enough for a really nice meat and cheese board, Martha.
Oh, well, that would be good. We could deal with that, I think. Yes, I guess so.
Yeah, the food will be fabulous. We know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Food, of course.
And drinks will be good.
In this group.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons we wanted to have y'all on is because you both love to cook. And what's really funny is y'all are always calling each other to talk about recipes or how to do this or I messed this up. And that's exactly what Courtney and I do. So clearly we get it from y'all.
Yeah, it's in the genes.
Yes.
And I don't mean the denims.
It ends up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you got that right.
In the big fat denims. Well, you know, Martha and I both went to culinary school together.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to give a little background on the Charlebois women. That's your maiden name, Charlebois. That was kind of bastardized into Charlebois in Texas.
Right.
We all come from a long line of women cooks, and all the women on your side of the family were good cooks, loved cooking and entertaining, starting with our great grandmother, Graham, because we always, Whitney and I were talking about this prepping. It's like we always heard stories about Graham cooking and throwing parties and being the hostess of the mostess. So I guess the apples don't fall far from the tree. Tell us a little bit about Graham and her love of entertaining and throwing parties, your grandmother.
That was her life, was giving parties, and she'd have these giant picnics.
Oh, wow.
Out in the backyard.
Who was she throwing all these parties for?
Everybody.
Everybody, work people.
Her childhood friends would come up from wherever. Willie Price came up from Coleman, where she lived. And so they would invite all of their other childhood friends, and they would rotate going to everybody's house having luncheon. But they would just go from house to house to house for a whole week or two while Willie Price was in town, and visit and eat and eat and party and party.
Sounds like a blast.
We'd get the leftovers.
What was the food?
Everything. They had lots of salad, kinds of salad luncheons, ladies luncheon, ladies who lunch.
My fave.
She'd fix all the sides. And one of our favorites was she'd do stuffed tomatoes, and she'd put cream cheese with chopped up cucumbers. Didn't she put a little bit of onion in there too?
Uh-huh.
And stuff the tomatoes with cream cheese, with that cream cheese mixture. And it was really good.
Well, see, when we were growing up, the farmer's market was really a farmer's market. You know, there were so many more farms around at the time, and they would bring their produce in, and it was just always lovely and beautiful. And so she'd go down there and buy all the produce.
Well, she'd go to Bill Eagle's. That was a little neighborhood grocery. They went to the market and they bought produce at the market and take it to the little store, the little neighborhood store, and sell it there. And if she didn't go to Bill Eagle's about 30 times a day, she didn't live.
Sounds like mom.
That's right. Well, and she kept one set of pearls downstairs in a bowl. So every time she went out to the grocery store, she had to put on her pearls.
Put her beads.
Oh,
her
beads. My God. Her beads. And lipstick, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah,
sure.
She never went out without her face on.
Beads. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's what she called them, her beads. But they had a group of high school friends or whatever, the Silly Tillies?
Yes, the Silly Tillies.
Right, their dinner club, right?
Yeah, their dinner club. And I think they played Canasta, too, with them.
Yeah, they
something.
Did that, too.
Anyway, but they call themselves the Silly Tillies. And I think they, as I remember, they met up until the time they all started dying because they were getting so old.
They did.
Wow, that's really cool.
I tried to start the Silly Tillies in L.A. with a dinner group, and location was the worst thing that would play into that because nobody could get around the town to get to places and coordinate. So I think I'm going to try to bring it back in Dallas.
One couple would host, and they would provide the meat, and everybody else would bring the sides and the dessert.
Right.
And then they just rotated around to all their different houses. God forbid nothing would interfere with Silly Tillies.
Oh, no, nothing.
No.
They were dedicated.
Second Tuesday of the month.
I was on a Tuesday. Like, wow.
Well, I don't think they drank alcohol at these events either, right?
No, they didn't. They were not drinkers.
Let's move on to our grandmother, Aunt May. That's what we called her. And her name was Martha May, and that's your mother. So we want to know a little bit more about her. We have heard from Mama Ashley a little bit, but Martha, tell us about Aunt May.
She was a pretty free spirit in a lot of ways. She was the snake lady.
Yes.
In the neighborhood.
Right.
She was a self-taught naturalist. And so we'd get the doorbell would ring and there would be a bunch of kids with a very ripe snake and they'd want to know if she was home and could she come and tell them about the snake and we'd go get her. And one night, one of the neighbors called about 10 o'clock at night and mother was already in the bed. She was in her 90 in the bed and the neighbors having a conniption fit. She was having the fright of her life because she had found a snake in her sink. Oof. We had big lots, and mother goes running down there through it with her nightgown flying and her house coat flying to save the neighbor from the fright of her life with a snake. She gets there and turns out there's a dead snake in the sink.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
But her students loved her. They were always at the house.
Well, she was a Spanish teacher, right?
Yes. Yeah. We would have massive amounts of students at the house. But what was interesting, when she passed away, they all showed up for her funeral, or they came by the house, or they called, or they sent cards. It was really, really quite amazing, the impact that she had made on them.
How did she meet Granddaddy?
At a wedding, you can tell them. Daddy was stationed at Fort Sill in Oklahoma. And his friend, Bob Bowen, asked him, what was he doing that weekend? And Daddy said nothing. And he didn't have any plans. And so he said, well, I'm going to go get, Bob said, I'm going to Dallas to get married. Will you come and stand up with me? And Daddy said, well, sure. Well, mother was part of the wedding party.
No.
She was one of the bridesmaids.
That's so cute.
Yes. And so that's where they met. And the rest is history. And Daddy used to keep mother was a student at SMU. And Daddy used to keep them supplied with chocolate bars. The sorority had all his chocolate bars.
Because the granddaddy would give them?
Yes, because he could get them at the PX. And he'd bring them down to mother or bring them down. Graham sent mother to Mexico to study one summer to break it up because she thought mother was too young to get married.
Well, he was older than her, right? Yeah.
Yeah. He was about, 8 years older, I think.
Seven or eight.
Anyway. Yeah. And, but it didn't work. They got married.
But he had a girlfriend in Oregon at the time he had to break up with too. All right. But how old was she?
She was 20.
20.
Okay.
She had graduated from college, got married, and had a baby by the time she was 21.
Wow.
So, yeah, she was really young.
So did Ame have these big parties like Graham did? Was that passed along to her as well?
No.
No. That's why we moved away from, we used to live really pretty close to Graham, within a few miles. And she always wanted mother to get in with a little social circuit and all that. And mother just wasn't that type. She was a gardener and a teacher. And, she really didn't want the little lady lunch thing. Wow. So that's why we moved out to Farmers Branch.
Oh, that's interesting. And they bought a pretty big piece of property, land and she could really get her hands in the soil and
3/4 acre.
Yeah, the greenhouse is still there.
Really?
That's a big old greenhouse, huh?
I want to hear a little bit about what it was like around the dinner table. I know Granddaddy was pretty strict with the manners and just from the brief time we lived with him.
I had a seat next to me with nobody, so sometimes I would kind of lie down in my seat, put my feet in the other one. Granddaddy didn't like that too much. He'd get kind of mad. And we could not put our elbows on the table. He'd start the Mabel, get your elbows off the table or go to your room.
Mother didn't put bowls on the table. We didn't serve it family style. We served it from the stove. So whoever got up from the table to go get more food, we'd holler, man at the pot. And that meant that whoever was there had to bring whoever wanted whatever to them. They had to wait on them, in other words.
That's really cute. Man at the pot.
Do you remember any of the regular dishes in rotation on those weeknights?
We had a lot of tuna casserole.
Oh,
we had Sloppy Joe.
I do like Ame's Sloppy Joe's.
Her Sloppy Joe's the best.
She would make a goulash with chopped up potatoes and pork and beans and ground meat.
I hated that more than anything. I would never, ever eat it.
Okay. I like goulash, and that sounds disgusting.
But if you're cooking for, if you're feeding a family of five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, back then, they and a lot of the stuff they did was out of a can, like canned spinach and
that
all
was that the
kind
sign of
stuff.
The times, because that was exciting. That was very new in the 50s to have all of this food that was frozen or in cans. And yeah.
She always made dessert, though, before she made dinner.
Oh.
She made bread every weekend. We had homemade bread every weekend.
Yeah. Her bread was really good. I loved her roast beef hash. That was my favorite one of them.
Was that for breakfast or dinner?
No, it's for dinner. She'd take a leftover roast beef and chop it up.
Onions.
And then onions, potatoes, and throw it in there. And Martha swears she cooked it in bacon fat, and she probably did.
Well, she did the onions. She'd do the onions in bacon grease.
Anyway, it was super good. Super good. We'd have that sometimes.
But we had a parakeet. I had a parakeet. His name was Billy. And that bird would let him. Well, I bought him from somebody who was Billy. He'd hand raised him. And this bird was the craziest thing you've ever seen. And he would let himself out of his cage. And he would walk all around through our plates. He walked through. Was it your potatoes or Roger's mashed potatoes one time?
I don't remember that at all.
This is outrageous. You had this strict dinner table where you couldn't sing or do anything, but you let a bird walk around the table and eat your eat off your plate? Sounds crazy.
Well, he didn't eat off your plate. He walked through it. The potatoes. Anyway, you had to catch him and put him back in his cage for a while.
But he talked too.
He talked, and mother would tell Rogers to eat your meat. Well, the next thing we know, the bird's going, "Eat your meat, eat your meat." And on Saturday, when mother would give Daddy his honeydew list, the next thing and he'd say, "Yes, dear." Well, then the bird starts saying, "Yes, dear."
Oh, that is amazing.
That's so great.
He had a really pretty big vocabulary. Yeah, he had a big vocabulary for parakeet.
Smart.
Oh, and mother would be sewing, and he'd get out, and he would walk across. She'd be putting pins in the patterns, and he'd pull the pins out, throw them over his shoulder.
He's a brilliant bird.
He was hysterical. He was just hysterical.
He was pretty smart.
I started learning to cook when I was 11 years old because mother wanted to be out in the yard.
Oh,
working in the yard. So I started learning to cook then. One of the things that happened when I was learning to cook, and I was following the recipe, and mother was out in the yard. I was following the recipe, and I pulled the spice off that I was supposed, or herb that I was supposed to use in the dish. Didn't check it to see if it had bugs in it.
Uh-oh.
And I put it in the amount that the recipe called for, and we got ready to serve it, and here are all these bods, these bug bods.
Gross.
We had to throw it out. Now, I think we had peanut butter sandwiches that night.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Sounds about right.
Yeah, we learned the lesson on that when you got to check the stuff before you throw it in the pot.
Yep.
I want to address something with the two of you because it's a trigger for me every year around the holiday time, because I keep hearing from mom that, you know, Martha and I just talk about it. We just had the most wonderful Christmas growing up. Magical, magical Christmas growing up. And I just wish it could be the same. And, you know, but what I have to tell you both is that it makes me feel terrible about myself, because I feel this pressure every year to like recreate this crazy, beautiful Christmas, to live up to your childhood fantasy of what Christmas was. And it just like, I think that I make myself sick every year, deathly ill.
It's not worth it. Don't do it.
It's not worth it.
I was going to say, you can't recreate it.
No, but mom, you're always like, it's just so sad that you're sick. It's just Martha and I was talking about how nice Christmas used to be. And meanwhile, I'm spending thousands of dollars to get the biggest Christmas tree and all the presents and have everybody here and do all these things to try to recreate a fucking Christmas that you guys used to love when you were little, only to like be on my deathbed Christmas Day every year. So I just want to know, what the hell happened at that Christmas that I can't recreate?
We want to know, like, were there $100 bills passed out? Were there puppies given out? Like, what was so magical?
I'm just saying, this is your problem, not ours. You know, we did have a magical, but you know what? Our grandmother did it. It was her magic.
Then you should be doing this shit.
Exactly. There we go. Ding, 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 ding. I get in trouble every year about how much money I spend on you people. What do you mean?
Well, you need to be thriftier.
Grandmother would shop all year long. She would find things on bargains. And she bought
10 of them.
She bought 10 of them. One year, she got these pot scrubber things called Danny Does It. And everybody got a dozen Danny Does It's because she all these Danny Does It's. And then she would find these men's shirts on sale. And so what she would do, if they didn't fit, she would shorten the sleeves.
And this is what made Christmas magical?
No,
Danny Does It and some men's t-shirts?
No, you know what it is? What I'm hearing, I know what it is now. There were just copious amounts of gifts. It could have been Danny Does It or whatever. But when you're a little kid and you're just opening gift after gift after gift, it just feels really exciting. But that's really not the best message to send to your kids.
No. But that was the whole thing is that she would, there are 7 grandkids. She would take each kid back in the day when we had the streetcars. We would go down to Sanger Harris because they had Toyland. We would go down there and shop and tell her what we wanted. We would have lunch,
salmon croquettes, and ice cream sodas.
Mm-hmm. And then she would pick out, you know, the things. We always got one thrill present, which is the thing we wanted the most. But we didn't know which one we were getting or what we were getting. To me, that was one of the most magical things because we got to spend the whole day with her by herself.
Yeah.
And then she'd take the next kid.
But think about this too. Another part, we would always go over, Pop would put up the Christmas tree. They always had a live Christmas tree. They'd put up the tree.
The live Christmas tree too.
Well, he would put the train, Uncle Gordon's train in the village
underneath. I don't have a train.
Well, he would put the train under there, but we would go over, we'd have dinner with them, and then we'd go decorate the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm. I'll do the snowball. I want to put the snowball
on
this year.
Yeah, the snowball. We had one ornament that we all wanted to fight over to put on the tree.
Oh, that's funny.
But that was part of it, was that it was kind of a series.
Family.
It was a series of things, and it was them. And so it was a lot of that piece of it. And then, of course, yeah, the whole end of the living room was full of presents.
Mm-hmm. We'd go over there on Christmas Day after we had Santa Claus at our house, and Aunt Dolly and Uncle Gordon would be here. Aunt Dolly's family would come over. And then, like at your house, Courtney, any friends or something that are either not the same religion or from somewhere else that wanted to come that didn't have anything to do that day, we would always have this whole house full. People would just stop by and visit.
I always aspire to make Christmas that day and to do all that, but I just get too sick before, you know, stressing myself out to live up to the expectations of Graham's perfect Christmas, you know?
Well, I really don't think you need to.
Make it your own.
I'm going on a vacation next Christmas.
We wouldn't have Christmas at all.
Right. Christmas is over. I'm announcing it on this podcast.
Well, I just think that the Ashley family is a little Christmas cursed is all I'm saying, because there's been several, you know, situations that have happened over the years where Christmas has gone awry. And I think we should celebrate in July.
Well, all the stores do. It's Christmas in July.
We can have a pool party.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm glad we addressed that. Now I've had some questions answered.
Good.
Just take a deep breath.
Okay, well, in true Hey Sis Eat This fashion, we are going to move on to the rapid fire portion of our episode.
Martha, her face.
Oh, boy.
Come on, Martha, you can do it rapid fire.
I don't know at this time of night. Anyway, go ahead. I've been up since 5:00.
Okay, well, we'll make it easy on you.
At least you didn't slip, slide, and diarrhea last night.
Yeah. You didn't see Courtney's video. It's hilarious.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Before dinner or after?
Probably should be after. Although you might puke up dinner.
You forget I worked in a hospital for 30 years. I can deal with anything.
That's right.
Yeah, you've seen it all.
Even bare bottoms.
All right. Martha, give us one word to describe Ame.
Unique.
Mama.
Teacher.
Yes, that's so good. Mom, what's one trait you got from Ame?
That's a good one. I think I got loyalty and honesty.
Yeah.
I said one, but that's okay. That's two, but that's good.
Oh, so sorry.
She's the star. She can have two.
I got, I guess, her sense of curiosity, constant curiosity, and wanting to always learn more about stuff.
Yes.
That's what I think I got that.
I can see that.
I love that. Mama, what's one thing that you've done in your life that you think that Ame would be the most proud of?
Well, you all might not think this, but she once told me before she passed away, and I think it's true, that I was a good mother. Because I think it really surprised. It really surprised her. Well, she thought I was a good mother to Courtney.
Well, then she would be very proud that you have a whole podcast and that we created, inspired by what a great mother you are. So,
yes,
Martha, what about you?
I think probably she would have been proud of my kids and my grandkids, that they are really smart and they're nice people and they do things for others and stuff like that.
Solid citizens.
Well, I think all of our grandkids and kids are good, solid citizens.
I think they are.
Martha, do you remember the best advice she ever gave you?
I really don't.
I know. I thought that might be tough because you lost her we lost her when she was so young.
She died at 56, 2 weeks before her 57th birthday.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would say the best advice she gave me was. Margaret, do you know?
No, she was always telling you what to do. She was always giving advice by, I guess, telling us what to do, how to act, how to
do right.
Do right. As Graham would say, you got to do right.
It's, I love that.
Southern thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess because she was always teaching us things. So I guess you could call that advice.
A lifelong advice.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we would always do in the summertime is we would pick a topic and we'd go to the library and we'd get every book we could find on whatever the topic was, the Ring of Fire, Volcano, whatever, the Loch Ness Monster. And we'd all sit around at night and we'd read to each other.
God, that's just, I wish.
We'd go through all these different topics in the summer.
Life before iPads and the internet.
Absolutely.
What a beautiful thing. You're very lucky to have that.
She read to us all the time, even when we got older.
Can I come down and you can read to me tonight?
Sure. Do you like Dr. Seuss?
I do. One fish, two fish?
Yeah. Red fish, blue fish.
You know, it's funny. I had lunch with a girl today, and we were talking about people need to be connected again. You know, physically and not just on the iPads and the emails and the texts, and how we've kind of lost that sense of unity and being together. And
with all the ways of connecting, people are more separated than ever.
Exactly. And that's what we were talking about. We all need to come back to take care of each other and to be with each other and
kinder and gentler.
Right.
Well, I think that kind of can help us wrap this. That's a good way to end this podcast, because we do this. We bring people together to tell these stories and reminisce about connection and connection through food. And, you know, you both shared some beautiful memories today, and we're so blessed to have heard these stories from you and to have them now recorded for our own, you know, for our own history. But thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping us kick off season two of Hey Sis, Eat This podcast.
Woo-hoo! Yay!
We love you both so much.
We love you too.
Let's go and do right, ladies.
Absolutely.
All right, Whitney, love you. Love your show.
I love you. I love your show, Court.
See you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to Hey Sis, Eat This. If you LOL'd, peed your pants a little bit, or even smirked, please hit subscribe and feel free to rate and review, but only if it's positive.
Also, visit our website for recipes and to sign up for our newsletter at HeySisEatThis.com. And don't forget to call into the Hey Sis hotline at 866-4-HEY-SIS with funny mama stories or kitchen conundrums of your own.